by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
So I walk into the studio today. I'm nearly blinded by this bright green hoodie that Nathan's got on over there. I'm like, it's got to be the Celtics, right? It's not the Celtics. Who is that?
It's the Marshall Hunt. Thundering Herd. Marshall Thundering Herd
right
here. That's
like the brightest green. That's like short of Oregon, you know.
Yeah, it's bright green. It's a nice hoodie. I'm not going to lie. I like it.
I was joking with Nathan. You have to be the only person in Blair County with a Marshall hoodie, right?
It's got to be. If anything, there's one or two other people. If you have a Marshall hoodie, you need to call in to the radio station right now and let us know. Because I would guarantee, unless you're from Huntington, West Virginia, yeah, there's a good chance you do not own yourself a Marshall Thundering Herd hoodie.
Hey, it's unique. You can walk around town boasting
your Marshall. It's a good conversation,
sir. It's a good conversation,
I was at the campus today, and somebody walked by.
Somebody's like, why the hell do you have a Marshall thing on?
They go, are you from West Virginia? I'm like, nah, I just have the hoodie. She's like, oh, yeah, I'm from West Virginia. I was just curious. She's like, I'm from down there. I'm like, yeah, just Marshall hoodie. I got in the closet, so.
All right, this is Sports Central. We got a hodgepodge of football stuff to talk about. You want to join us, 946-0435. So probably 25 years ago, I got this thing in the mail. And this is before, you know, T-shirts and hoodies, you know, putting your names and everything on that was very – it's easy to do any of that now. Mm-hmm. I got this thing in the mail like 25 years ago, and it was a gray hoodie, and they had my name on it. Said Geiger University, and you could put, you know, any name on it like you can now. But 25 years ago, this was, you know, still kind of a new thing.
Revolutionary.
Yeah, so they sent it in the mail, and I'm like, hey, it's cool. It says Geiger University. I ordered one. It was like $25, $30. And you were talking about a conversation starter. I've worn that hoodie, you know, forever, and anytime I walk into a room, you're like, oh, where's Geiger University? I'm like, right here, baby.
On my chest.
This is it. So, yeah, that's funny. All right, 946-0435. That's the number if you want to join us. Anything football-related. I want to start Penn State. We've got our Black and Gold Breakdown show coming up at 5 o'clock. We've got a ton of stuff to go over with that. Justin Fields being undefeated. Blah, blah, blah. We got a lot of things to get to. And I want Nathan's opinion on some of this, too, because I gave you my opinions on Fields and you know, where being undefeated is yesterday. But just in general, typically early in a week after a Penn State game, Nathan, I like to look back at the Penn State game, think about what we learned, what we didn't learn, how it can help, not help, what have you. I learned nothing about Penn State this week. Yeah. I think it was a complete and total abomination. I think if they'd never played the game, we would have learned just as much about them. And unfortunately for Kent State, lost two quarterbacks
That's insane.
Both got.
So it was the one Achilles. The
yes.
Second, okay.
Yes.
That looked like an Achilles. The second yes. I saw on TV, I'm like, the way he pushed off, that's just
so,
Achilles popped right
to
there.
Me, you know, that's an interesting discussion. Now, I want to get to that in just a second. Is it worth the money that you get, you know, for playing these games? But did we learn anything? Do you feel any differently, better, worse, the same about Penn State football after that practice scrimmage?
I don't feel any different. I guess the only thing I'll take away from it is they didn't maybe start out. I mean, I guess it was, 7-0 after the first quarter?
Yeah, they only scored 7 in the first quarter.
Yeah,
I think it was a slow start.
It was a slow start, but they ended up picking it up like you would expect. So I guess maybe they took care of business, did what they were supposed to do. That's the one thing you could say. Covered the spread, whatever. They played how they should have played. They didn't underperform. But again, you're playing Kent State, which is the worst FBS team, in my opinion, in the country. So not much to take away from it. I thought Aller, he looked good. There was that one ball that floated. It felt like for 15 seconds down the field. It was a deep pass. Was it to Wallace? Was it Wallace?
Was I can't. Evans?
Okay. Maybe it was Evans.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember who the receiver was there. You know what? Hey, 56-0, 718 yards. The other team had 67.
Yeah.
100,000 people went and had a good time, you know, and that's what Penn State football is all about. It's a behemoth. It's a machine. They just keep rolling. But here we are. We're a month into the season. We really don't know a whole lot about that team yet. We're going to find out a little bit more on Saturday against Illinois. Now, you and I both picked Nebraska to beat Illinois.
That was an interesting game.
A very good game. You know,
Luke Altima, he's a good quarterback for Illinois. He transferred from Ole Miss, I believe. I believe Jackson Dart replaced him down there. He's a good quarterback. He's no one to sneeze past. He can make some plays, and he can keep a team in a game. They were able to knock off Nebraska and Lincoln. That's not an easy team.
So is there a threat this week? That's just off the top of your head, would you say that Illinois is a legitimate threat? Because the line comes out, and my God, it's 17.5
I saw
points.
That. I thought it was going to be around 10.5 to 12.
It's like, you know, whatever your mortgage is, man, you might want to consider 17.5. That's a gigantic number. Because I at least consider Illinois a team that can give Penn State some issues.
And you know what? I thought that team might have been Iowa last year during the whiteout, and they went out, shut them out, and performed excellent. So I think whenever Penn State wants to, especially against, you know, it's not going to be against the Ohio States or the Oregons or the top of the Big Ten, but they can, you know, these mid-tier, you know, 20 to 35, 40 ranked teams, they can put it on them. And you saw it with West Virginia, who really isn't a borderline top 25 team anymore. They're pretty bad. They're all right, but, you know, they're not anything special. But they can put it on these teams, especially at home. Here, Franklin, I think Franklin has some motivation to win this game big. Obviously, is the last time that Illinois was in there, the 9 overtime game?
Yeah, I think that's right, yeah.
I couldn't remember if they had been in Beaver since. I mean, they have a sour taste in their mouth still from that game, even though it was, what, 3-4 years ago. I'd imagine they're going to be able to handle this. I actually think 17.5 is a fair spread. I think they can cover that. It feels like
you would put money on 17.5?
I wouldn't feel – I mean, I'd take it 16. I'd take it at 16.5. I wouldn't, you know, trust.
That's just a big
it
number.
It is a big number, especially against a guy like Luke Alden. He is a good quarterback. I'm letting you know you're going to see some excellent plays out of him. Now, he might make a few mistakes because this Penn State defense, in my opinion, is going to take it up another notch. You really start conference play. You start these difficult teams. It's a good first test. You're luckily at home. If they were going into Illinois – I think it's a different story. I don't think Illinois would beat them, but I like Illinois to keep that game a lot closer. I think you're having Beaver Stadium. I think people are going to be riled up. People are ready to go. This feels like the first big test for them. So I like Penn State early, sort of big, like 21 to 24 points.
It's just a crazy series because and look, we're not going to just completely break down this game today, but it is a crazy series because. Let's go back to 2014. So this is James Franklin's tenure. In 2014, they were still overcoming the sanctions and all that stuff. But Penn State went to Illinois and lost 16-14.
Okay.
Illinois comes back to Penn State the next year. Penn State wins 39-0. They go to Champaign in 2018. Penn State wins 63-24. That's another 39-point spread. Then in 2020, back at Penn State wins 56-21. So another 35. So Penn State's just whipping their ass.
Yep.
Just crushed. Then the whole debacle of 2021 and the 9 overtime game, and Illinois wins 2018.
You were there in the stadium, I'm assuming.
Yep.
What was the reaction to that? Because I couldn't imagine.
It was pathetic.
Because it felt like maybe one of the worst losses in Penn State recently.
It was
history.
The worst loss. That was the worst loss of James Franklin's tenure.
100% agree with you there.
It was a pathetic game because, my God, everybody just wanted to be over. I mean, yeah.
Nine
overtimes. You go 9 overtimes. Now, again, you're doing some 2-point conversions down at the stretch, but in a 9 overtime game, you'd almost expect it to be like 63-60, not 20-18. It was just,
none of them get in the end zone, right?
This was
if
like,
I remember correctly.
This was like Matt Canada's Super Bowl, right? Like, this is like the worst offense we've ever seen.
Matt Canada versus Nathaniel Hackett.
Yeah, right. There. Yeah, good. Yeah. And then last year, Penn State went to Champaign 130-17. So, you know, there have been some close games, but for the most part, Penn State's destroyed this team. So, all right. We'll break down a lot of that a little bit more later in the week. But I did want to go over our predictions here a little bit because we both had Nebraska, and I talked all last week how I thought Matt Rhule was really doing a great job. And that Nebraska program was looking fantastic. Then, you know, and I'm actually going to do a radio show in Nebraska tomorrow. They have me on a lot to preview Penn State games, and I can't wait to ask those guys, how pissed is everybody in Nebraska right now that you blow a whole game to Illinois?
Yeah, it felt like they should have won that game. They were controlled, it felt like, for most of the game. I understand it's kind of back and forth, but especially down the stretch, you thought, hey, this team, they're going to be able to put them away at some point. A big stop here or there. Raiola's going to go down. Because Raiola, first of all, this kid is incredible. Just give him a little bit more time. I understand he didn't maybe look as polished as he needed to be against an Illinois team. You're also going against a veteran coach on the other side. That guy's been through the ringer too. So it's not an easy game. Illinois is not a breeze-over opponent, but Nebraska felt like they should have won that game. It's going to be a stain right now because there was a chance that if Nebraska, their schedule lined up where they could have been easily 7-0, I believe it was, going into Ohio State. I mean, at that point, you're putting yourself in a position where you can maybe make a playoff run. Think about it. They were already 22nd, I think, in the rankings, 22. So you get a few more wins under your belt. You're moving in the top 15 going into Columbus. Probably going to lose that, but, I mean, you're not going to be docked too much for going into Columbus unless you lose 63-0 as a ranked team. So it's interesting. I think Nebraska is very – they're shocked, I think, by the result. I think they felt this was going to be a game they could control for most of the time, and it felt like they should have, but it just slipped away at the end. And whenever you get into overtime, anything can happen.
Now, did we differ on how many college games last week? Just one?
So, well, it was two.
Two.
I sent you the text because I picked the Colorado beating Baylor, which took a miracle. So I'll take. I was watching a different game. Like, I just looked on ESPN. It said the game was over. It was like 0 seconds and four. It must have been an update with the Hail Mary.
Oh, so you
so
thought
I was like, oh, it's over.
It's over.
And then,
yeah.
And then I was just scrolling like Twitter and I saw the Hail Mary.
You're
like, what?
Yep.
I'm like, wait, what? So I switched it over to an overtime. I'm like, oh my God. And then Colorado ended up squeaking it out. That was why I thought their talent was going to prevail at the end. That's what happened. Travis Hunter makes a great play. Forces that fumble. So, yeah, that one, you pulling it up, the other one?
No, what's the other game we disagreed on?
Trying to remember off the top of my
college.
Head.
I think it was Michigan.
Michigan, yes.
And you know
yes.
What?
And
what
I should have picked Michigan. I don't know why I didn't trust myself.
Well,
I thought USC was going to pull it
they
out.
They had 36 yards passing. I mean, this was, I saw a headline that they out-harballed Michigan. You know, Michigan out-harballed itself. And, and he's gone, obviously. But, you know, that's very interesting. Now, USC did come back, and they were right there at the end.
Michigan felt like it was dominating the game.
It was. They were. And they were dominating physically, as you would expect. That's the kind of game.
Will Johnson goes out their star corner. Things get a little dicey there.
But you just think, you know, it's going to be fascinating. And I'm not just talking about in year one. Nathan, I'm talking about in year seven. I'm talking about in year 14 of USC and Oregon and all them being in the Big Ten. Because we still see it now. All right, let me go back a few years ago to Penn State with the loss to Michigan. I mean, Penn State's been in the Big Ten 30 years. And so to be ready physically week in and week out for all the different kinds of teams is still a problem 30 years later. Mm-hmm. Because Penn State, James Franklin, built his program to compete with Ohio State. And you can make the case that Penn State competed with Ohio State as well as anybody. So then what happened? Well, Michigan does it a little differently. They go with the full power, and so now Penn State can't compete with Michigan physically because they've set the roster to compete with Ohio State, where you got a good mix of good physicality and speed. Well, Michigan just did it all with speed, and so James had his post-game press conference a couple years ago. I think he was talking about Akeem Beamon was one of the guys. Like, everybody wants to be Aaron Donald, be these undersized defensive tackles. Well, then you play against a Michigan team, and they just run you over. So again, it'll be interesting to me for this year, for 5 years, Oregon, USC. Again, I don't think UCLA is going to be a factor ever. I don't think UCLA wins the Big Ten ever. Like a billion years. I just don't think it's possible. Now, Washington, they've got a good
Washington, Oregon can maybe build some
Oregon can here. Because Oregon's got the money. But how much longer is Phil Knight going to be alive? I think he's like 88 years old.
Yeah.
You know? So when Phil Knight dies, and with all due respect to Phil Knight, I mean, where's the money going to come from for Oregon at that point? So what we saw with Michigan doing that, and I'm looking forward to Penn State going out to L.A. here
next month.
Because Penn State is a very physical team. Now, Penn State's not Michigan physical, but they're not far off. So UCLA or USC or Oregon, how are they going to be able to handle this weekend? Because, again, Kent State, I know it's Kent State, they lost two quarterbacks playing Penn State. And what ends up happening is the more games you play like this against tough opponents week after week after week after week after week, nobody's 100%. You at 100% might be able to do one thing, but by the time you've played Rutgers and Illinois and Nebraska and Iowa, then you get to a Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, you're nowhere close to 100% physical.
Yeah, so I'm pulling up USC schedule right now. So before Penn State, they play Wisconsin, then they got Minnesota. So they got two physical teams.
Three. Minnesota's a very physical team.
Two, yeah, Wisconsin.
Yeah,
Minnesota.
Two in a row before,
Two in a row before.
And then they've got Minnesota. So if they beat Penn State, they're going to be on top of the world. Then I would pick Minnesota to
beat them. It's Wisconsin, Minnesota, then Penn State.
Oh, my God. So they've got both of those teams.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say.
So they're going to get their butts whooped physically, even if they win those games, which they should.
Mm-hmm.
that's my point about playing in the Big Ten, that even Penn State has to deal with this now, okay? When it's week after week after week after week after week, and Penn State's been very lucky because they keep their players healthy and from a depth standpoint. But USC going through this for the first time, it's going to be a big challenge.
Listen, I think Penn State's going to whoop USC. I really
do. It's possible.
I really don't even think it's going to be that competitive of a game. Because you saw the way Michigan was able to dominate on the ground, and you think if they had they sprinkled in a little bit of passing there, it wouldn't even been a game probably. I mean, they would just physically outmatched USC. So I think that's what's going to happen with Penn State. I don't want to get ahead of myself, and I don't want to sound like a homer, but to me, this really feels like a mismatch for USC.
Physically.
And I think that Penn State, even with the immense, you know, they have that Branch kid, USC, who's really good. Miller Moss, a great quarterback.
Right. Miller Moss would be the difference. And there's one thing here I want to throw this out, because on paper, neutral site, I'd take Penn State all day long. But you're flying 3,000 miles.
You are.
And even when you're chartering and all that stuff, you're still talking about 19, 20, 21-year-old kids, the impact on the body. USC will be ready for that. If USC is going to win that game, it's going to be along those intangibles lines kind of stuff.
Potentially. But I just think that Penn State has they can match up to the skill players, and I think they can just bully USC in the trenches. So, I mean, if they can establish a run game, I don't think this is going to even be close from the get-go. I don't know what time the game is. Probably, what, 3:30 game? Man, it might be a night game. They might schedule.
It'll probably be a night. But, again, think about that. My God, they go.
They're flying. They're
Michigan.
Flying.
USC goes Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, then Penn State.
To be fair, USC, you know, they did knock out LSU, who is a
and
physical
that's a physical team. So yeah. That is just wild. All right, we got a caller. We got Ian on the line to talk some Penn State. What's up, Ian?
Hi, Corey and Nate. How you guys doing?
What's up, Ian? How you doing?
Good. All right, a few things. So first of all, Kent State went up this weekend. Great game. And I meant to say this last week when I called, but Corey, you were asking like who would even go up to this game. So the Coastal Carolina reference last week,
mm-hmm.
because that was my first ever Penn State game.
Nice.
66-10. I remember going there. That's how I started to be in love with Penn State. And so that's where I figured a game like Kent State this Saturday, deep ticket, great weather, they're going to win. You know, I'm sure there were kids, Penn State's going to win, and so that's kind of where I drew that comparison.
Let me stop you there for one second, because that is a very interesting story. So how old were you for Coastal Carolina? 10?
I know. I was born in 2000. I would have been 7 years old. My birthday's in December, so I was 7 years old.
We talk a lot about you know, the football stuff and the analysis of it and all this diehard football stuff. I saw a Facebook post from like five different people over the weekend that it was their kid's first Penn State game, Kent State. And so what Ian's talking about is the other side of it, of how you become a fan,
mm-hmm.
and how you come to enjoy it. Because I take Ian, I take less than nothing out of Kent State. Literally nothing. If me and you and Nathan and Bob Taylor and Rich Dennis, if we all went out and played Penn State, I think Penn State would get as much out of playing us as they did Kent State. But for the seven-year-old in you that went to Coastal Carolina, and it fostered your fandom, and then kids who go to their first game and it be Kent State, you didn't care it was 66-10. Nathan, what was your first Penn State game?
You know what I think it was? I think it was Illinois. I forget what you...
One of those games where they won by 30-something points?
The Saquon hurdle where he lost his shoe. I remember that specifically happening.
That was at least a decent opponent. But my point is, you know, I try to take a step back sometimes from all the hardcore football stuff of it and realize that, you know, these are people there. And especially when kids... I talk a lot, Ian, about how do people become fans. That's kind of what if Penn State would have lost the first game you went to? Would you have been as eager to go back?
Yeah, well, I would have been like, hey, I don't, you know, there have been a lot of booing fans. I'm sure I would have heard some words I shouldn't have heard that
That's
day.
Right. That's right.
And so,
and your parents would have been like, we can't bring you here.
no, right. But, no, that game, that is the day I decided I wanted to be in the blue band, and eventually I was able to. And that was the day I became a Penn State fan. And so I saw the equivalent this weekend. I hope a lot of other kids have that.
And you know what? Saturday was probably the day that some of those kids are going to decide that they become Penn State fans out of a what was the final score, 127 to negative 10?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. All right, and then two quick things. Illinois, I think I thought the line came out pretty high, but initial reaction. But at the end of the day, too, Franklin, I think, has been doing a better job the last few seasons of losing the games he's not supposed to lose, because he's had that problem before, right? Like losing the Michigan State game after Ohio State, how many years? Losing to Pitt, although Pitt was good that year, but some losing to Illinois back in, I think, was it 21, 22, one of those years. But last few seasons, he's been doing a better job. He's gotten close, like Indiana last year, but he's been doing a better job of that. So, especially being the first night game, being Illinois and that past history, the sour taste in our mouth, I think Penn State's going to do fine. I could see it being close going into the fourth maybe and then pulling away, getting a late turnover and something like that. That's my take on the Illinois game. And then one quick thing, you couldn't have picked a better co-host than Nate. I get a message the other day after I called last week, and from Nate saying, hey, did you call into the show? And I forgot who he was, to be honest. And I remember we worked together. I'm like, oh, this is a kid we always talk sports at the Register with. And so he's a great guy. He couldn't have picked a better co-host. And love the show with you and him. And keep up the great work.
Thanks, buddy.
I appreciate that for sure. Ian's one of the best guys I've known. He's first of all, he's super knowledgeable in his sports. Everything he says, I just take seriously. He's a great sports fan.
Did you get his address so you can send him the damn check?
I should have gotten it. No, Ian's a great guy. Great person, worked with him for probably whatever a year. It was a while, but I appreciate him saying that, and glad you enjoy listening to us. So
I love those comments, Ian. Thanks. Listening in here as I'm going to mention something else along those lines. Thanks for calling, buddy. So I was that kid, and you were probably that kid that you're 12, 13, 14. You're just talking sports to everybody. Was that you?
Right at the lunch table every single time.
Nonstop, all the time.
I mean, we might as well be Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman back in elementary
school. Yeah, I was Dick Vitale. I mean, that's how far I go back, because I'd play – junior high. I remember being in junior high, 1987. You know, everybody knew me as Dick Vitale. I watched every college game on ESPN. Everybody's, oh baby.
My nickname's Sport Boy for a reason.
All right, that's good.
I'd be the one who knows everything most likely.
So when I went back to like my high school reunion 20 years later, nobody was surprised what I mm-hmm. am doing. So when you go back to your high school reunion 20 years later, are you going to be an accountant, you know, making money, or computer software engineer making money for yourself? Or are you going to be involved in sports somehow? And everybody's going to be like, see, Nathan, we knew you. We knew Sport Boy would be involved in this.
I hope to God I'm involved in sports and making myself a nice living somehow with the family. That's the goal 20 years from now.
Well, you just picked two divergent paths there. You said being involved in sports but making a nice living for your family.
So we got to figure that out.
That's the tough part
there. Social media, I think, is allowing for some stuff. So maybe we can hit it off on there, but we'll see.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Ian, thanks for the call. That was good stuff. We'll take a break. We'll talk a little bit Steelers after this.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell.
Whether it's popcorn for a movie or chips for a family picnic, great times and great snacks go hand in hand. Davison Snacks Outlet is your go-to place for snacks. Whether you want crispy, savory, or sweet, everything from small bags to bulk packages and gift baskets too. Davison Snacks has Martin's Chips and Snacks, jerky from Bronco Billy's and Rougarou, All-Star Cotton Candy, Little Debbie Snack Cakes, Boyer Candy, Dots Pretzels, Wise Snacks, and more. Life is better with snacks from Davison Snacks Outlet, 16843 Dunnings Highway, Duncan.
Remember when you used to cruise the boulevard back in the day? Maybe you stopped at JMP Automart to check out their inventory. Well, you know you still can. JMP Automart is still rocking Central PA with the best deals. Check them out online at jmpautomart.com, where you can apply for financing and see their inventory of over 200 units. Or cruise in like you used to 1906 Pleasant Valley Boulevard and see them in person. Got a trade? JMP will give you $1,000 push, pull, or tow. Apply for financing online. JMP Automart, in business for 64 years, so they must be doing something. thing, right?
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
Get to Mattis Motorsports now for CF Moto ATVs and side-by-sides. Mattis Motorsports is also your headquarters for trailers, both open and closed. Campers, brands like Astoria, Gulfstream, Puma, and more. Bad Boy Zero Turn Mowers in Lear and ARE truck cabs. Give Mattis Motorsports a call at 814-940-6288 or check them out in person at 1702 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in the Greenwood section of Altoona. And remember,
if it doesn't say Mattis, you paid too much.
Got Medicaid or are you uninsured? Do you need a doctor? We love to care at Gloria Gates Care, and we're now accepting new members. At Gloria Gates Care, we've got all your needs in one place, and we welcome you to come join us while we help you to receive the quality care you deserve. At Gloria Gates Care, we're redefining healthcare. For office hours and more information, call 814-300-7777. Gloria Gates Care, 2525 9th Avenue, Suite B, Altoona. Online at GloriaGatesCare.com.
We're talking life's important decisions here during the break about tacos and hard shell, soft shell. Nathan and I have a lot of respect for Nathan. He's a big taco guy, as I am. But you said something interesting, and I called you on a little bit because I said hard shell or soft shell. To me, there's really only one answer, but you went both
answer?
Ways.
What's your answer?
Well, it's got to be hard shell. Okay. I can't stand soft shells.
Listen, if it's a nice, warm, soft shell, meaning you throw that thing in the microwave for probably 10 to 15 seconds, especially on a winter day, oh, man, it's so good.
Now, I can eat soft shells with burritos, mm-hmm. or fajitas. Okay. I can do that, but I can't eat soft shells with just hamburger meat.
I respect that. I respect that. I said my biggest problem with eating the hard shell is it always breaks on you if you have it at home. And we were talking about Taco Bell, and somehow Taco Bell's shells absorb the juices and meats, and it conforms to the meat itself, so it's not breaking somehow 95% of the time. So in that case, that hard shell, it's very good, especially if you get those Dorito flavors. Ooh,
oh, man. Yeah. All right.
I can go for one right now.
I want to pick your brain on Justin Fields and the Steelers. We're going to talk a lot about this in the 5 to 6 o'clock hour with Kreider on our Black and Gold Breakdown show. And I know how this is going to go. Kreider is a difficult fan in which the win is not always really what matters to him. He wants to see a good performance.
Product on the field.
And the Steelers don't often have good performances. So on our Black and Gold Breakdown shows a lot, and if he's listening, hello, boss, how you doing? He's always still kind of in a little bit of a pissy mood, even when they win. Is that understandable or appropriate from a sports fan standpoint, when if you win, should that cure all ills? Or if you win, but it's ugly, should you be allowed to still kind of be a malcontent and be angry and frustrated?
The only time winning cures all is whenever you're holding the Lombardi at the end of the year. Wins look completely different. If you looked at the Chicago Bears week one and said, man, that victory against Tennessee Titans where Will Levis looked like the worst quarterback of all time in the fourth quarter, that's not a good win. Steelers wins, they haven't been crazy. They haven't been crazy dominant. But this last week felt like it was a very, very good game. I go out of that Chargers game and I say, listen, this Steelers team put on an impressive performance today. It didn't feel like they squeaked by. It didn't feel like they right place, right time. It felt like they dominated that game. And I understand Dobbins in the first half, he was getting a little going. He was running the ball pretty well. Boz misses a long field goal. That stuff happens. I'm not going to hold him hostage for that. I thought Boz is the MVP of the season so far. I think that the Steelers team, I think that win Sunday, you take away and you say that was an impressive win. There's nothing we should be complaining about. They were able to hit. They had good that deep play to Calvin Austin, touchdown right there. That's what you like to see. That's something that's been missing, explosive plays. Najee, while the running game in the first half was not there, it got going in the second half. And I understand you had Herbert, who was already dealing with an injury, comes in, has an ankle injury on top of it, and you know, you're playing against 50% quarterback, and then you have, was it Heinicke who came in?
Mm-hmm.
Heinicke comes in. So, I mean, it's an impressive win because, you know, when you go against a hardball team, they're going to fight. They're going to play. Tackles got injured. So it felt like the entire Los Angeles Chargers team got injured that game.
They played better. They had the long drives when they needed to. It still wasn't a great offensive performance.
The first half offensive performance is a little sketchy. That's what I'll say. It was very, it's a little worrisome.
So they're sitting here, though, at 3-0.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the difference between college football and the NFL. I don't know anything about Penn State right now. Nothing. I know nothing about the Penn State team. You feel confident they can go out and beat USC. I'm not confident about anything.
Okay.
I don't know anything about this team yet because there are a lot of different factors, and college football is so different. Again, I mentioned the intangible of flying across the country. That's a very different thing. In the NFL, though, everybody's so even. All you have to do is win. It's not about style points. It's not about how good. It's not about, well, here you are in week three. How are you going to project in week nine against Ohio State? That's what college football is about. College football is about Penn State's got 8 easy wins on the schedule every year. 2 tough games that maybe could go either way, and then 2 games that they might lose. So you know 2/3 of the season, upwards of maybe even 75% of the season, you know what's going to happen in a Penn State football season.
Yeah.
Steelers, you don't know what's going to happen at the 2-minute warning in the fourth quarter on any given Sunday. So they're two very different sports. I have covered Penn State for a long time. I think it's perfectly fine to kind of bitch and moan a little bit after a Penn State game on a Monday if they don't quite live up to what you would expect given the level of competition.
Mm-hmm.
The Steelers, especially with the way Mike Tomlin plays, if they win a game 3-2, he's won the game. And I'm not defending Mike Tomlin here because I don't think he's a great coach like other people. But ultimately, in the NFL, the only thing that matters to me is winning the game.
Yes. If you're a Steelers fan right now, you should be happier 3-0. If you are a Minnesota Vikings fan right now, you should be thrilled you're 3-0 with the schedule you've had to start. If you're a Seattle Seahawks fan, you're 3-0. There are some teams that I was not expecting to be 3-0 right now, who've come out and played absolutely fantastic, and a lot of our teams are doing very well as well that you weren't expecting, like the Commanders and all those teams. But in the NFL, if you win, it's a celebration no matter what. You can't – it's not like a college season where rankings determine where you're going to figure out. It's best record on the field. Now, eventually, it does come down to strength of schedule and stuff like that. But that stuff's typically out of your hands. Usually, it's your opponent's strength of record. But – I mean, for the Steelers, like those teams I just mentioned, you're 3-0 right now. You're sitting pretty. You're thinking to yourself, hey, listen, we're in control now. Steelers right now, with the way their division's looking, you're feeling really good as a Steelers fan. I mean, the Ravens, they're good, but they seem to have trouble closing out games. I don't think the Browns are that good. I think the Bengals, they always go off to a slow start. Now it's getting a little concerning at 0-3. So you're thinking to yourself, hey, maybe this Bengals team, maybe this team isn't built because you got T. Higgins, Jamar Chase kind of sitting out most of the season with contract or off season with contract
mm-hmm.
stuffs. That defense, I didn't like that defense coming in. That defense has continued to look somewhat Pee Wee League football. I mean, they have been absolutely horrendous through 3 weeks. Steelers right now, you have to feel so good where you're sitting, and you cannot complain, bitch, or moan about anything that's happened these first 3 weeks.
Now, Mike Tomlin still refuses to name Justin Fields the starter. Today, Tomlin, because this is just who he is, he's just going to be, he's like a grizzled old bear. He just doesn't want to give you any information when you ask about
he's a modern-day Belichick. Where he's just gonna...
Yeah, if Justin Fields is going to be named the starter, Tomlin says, because there's no need. I explained to you the variables of the week. It has not changed. He's going to walk in this building with that mindset tomorrow, and so really there's no need to. Sometimes in this business, man, there's a myriad of complex decisions that need to be made. I've learned to make them when it's appropriate, and it's not necessary as we sit here right now. When Russ gets to an appropriate point of health and we have a decision to make, I'll make it. Okay. Justin Fields is a starting quarterback, period.
You think if Russ is healthy, they're not going to even look bad an eye towards him?
Not if they're undefeated.
I would almost disagree.
Okay, well, then let's get into that because
I don't know.
If you're 4-0, 5-0, and you make a quarterback change, you're a damn fool. And Mike Tomlin's not a damn fool. He's not a great coach in terms of games.
It's going to be short leash, though.
But that's a different story. Okay, that's a different story than naming a starter. Okay, this is part of the discussion I wanted to have with Justin Fields. I'm still not sold on Justin Fields. But in the NFL, you don't change starting quarterbacks when you're undefeated.
You shouldn't. No, I agree with you there.
So
let's say again, say Indianapolis, so he comes out and is mediocre.
Look, I'm picking them to lose again.
I do 100% you're picking them to lose.
I keep picking them to lose.
And I'll tell you what, we'll dive more into that on Thursday, yeah. But this is a very, very intriguing matchup for me. Yeah. This feels like their first big test. I understand they just had the Chargers come in. This feels like a big test for them. Although Indianapolis is 1-2, this is a pretty good team, I think.
I think with Tomlin doing this, not that he cares about a lot of the PR. I think James Franklin says a lot of things to control the PR narrative. I just don't think Tomlin gives a flying F about anything.
Nah,
he doesn't care. Okay, so we can try to read into this what he's saying. I just don't think he wants to talk to the media and answer any questions. I think he looks down on the media. I think he thinks they ask a bunch of stupid questions. Okay.
It's just the clip of "We do not care." That tells you everything from Mike Tomlin. So,
but by him doing this, I think in his mind, he still probably thinks it's a close competition. I'm just saying, as long as they're winning, you cannot make a change. But sure, let's just say hypothetically Russ is healthy this week, which I don't think he's going to be. But let's say he is. And Justin Fields goes out and plays a really poor first half, 6 for 18. By the way, he's completing 73% of his passes.
Oh, yeah, he's been on the money.
But let's just say he's 6 for 15 for 40 yards and interception, and they're down 10-7 at the half. Well, that's where they were the other day, down 10-7 at the half. Against a pretty decent football team. Now, Russ wasn't healthy, and he stayed with Justin Fields, and look what Justin did in the second half. I thought he played an excellent second half, leading a couple drives. Now, their offensive line took over. So, with the way Mike Tomlin wants to play, I just don't see him abandoning. Now, if they're down 2 or 3 scores, that's a different story altogether.
I don't think he makes a change mid-game. I really don't. Like, a halftime adjustment, I don't think he throws Russell Wilson.
Exactly.
So, I think it's going to be... Like this week, like I think Fields 100% going in Indy. Following week against Dallas is a big night game. What do you do there? If Fields come out, if they lose this game and Russ is healthy, I think Russ is starting against the Cowboys.
But we are in agreement that if they're undefeated, Fields is the quarterback no matter what.
I would say
to start.
I give that a 75% chance.
You think Mike Tomlin would bench his starting quarterback for an undefeated team?
Maybe. I think Mike Tomlin, because I think he respects Russ that much, that he might give him a shot because he's one of those guys.
Then you might as well cut Justin Fields. He is a human being who's completing 73% of his passes, and if I'm Justin Fields in that situation, I'm saying F you to everybody in the building. I'm saying F you 3 feet from Mike Tomlin's face. If I'm 6-0, 7-0, and you're benching me,
yeah,
I might freaking punch somebody, including Mike Tomlin.
I'd be irritated, too.
So you might as well cut him, because he will never be a factor for you again. That's how you lose a human being. And I don't think Tomlin would do that. I don't think he's stupid enough, because with Russ's health, let's say you do that in week 5 or 6, and you completely lose Justin Fields mentally, and then Russ gets hurt a week later. You think you're getting Justin Fields fully back mentally? You think he's got loyalty to you in any way, shape, or form when he comes back?
I think he may have a chip on his shoulder and want to prove something. I don't know about the loyalty aspect, but I think he'll go out and he'll want to perform and kill it just to prove.
But
say, hey, we're not
doing
this game.
Tomlin doesn't give him the chance. We're going to get into this after the break because this is a really good discussion. Nathan's actually going to take over after the break, but I do want to talk a little bit more about that specific aspect about I don't think Mike Tomlin is letting Justin Fields do what Justin Fields can do.
Okay.
So we'll get into that a little bit more.
I'm Kerry Murphy with your NASCAR Xfinity Series race recap from Bristol Motor Speedway. Cole Custer led 104 of the 300 laps for his second win this season.
Not very realistic. I knew we needed some help. You know, that's a good team with that 7 team, and it would have been a really good race if they didn't have their, you know, whatever problems they had. But I really always liked racing Justin, and I just bad luck for them, I guess. But it's a testament to our team, what we bring to the racetrack every single weekend, and any given weekend we can win. It's been a tough month and a half, but I know when we get our stuff right, we're going to be up there fighting for wins and fighting for championship. You just said congratulations. It's been a tough couple of weeks for us. We got together at Atlanta, and then we got together last week at Watkins Glen. He spun me out, so we kind of had to talk about things this week and how we're going to go forward. But he's always been a great one to work with. He's aggressive and races hard but clean, and it's always great to have him in the series. And he's great competition and quality competition to race with.
He grabs the regular season championship after Justin Allgaier had major issues. Sheldon Creed was second, followed by Chandler Smith, Jesse Love, and Ryan Truex rounds out the top five. The round of 12 kicks off this weekend with Justin Allgaier leading Cole Custer by just 6 points at the top of the chart. Up next for the NASCAR Xfinity Series is Kansas Speedway, Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern on CW. You're on the final lap.
Tommy! I can't wait for golf this weekend, huh, buddy? Time flies. Love you, man. Oh, don't forget your knee brace again. We aren't in college anymore.
Moments together matter, so help protect yourself from RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60 plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV, and there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at vaxassist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Hi, welcome to Staples.
Hi, I hear Staples can print everything for my business.
Sure can.
And the quality is guaranteed?
Absolutely.
Plus, you'll beat any price quote. Is that right?
For sure.
How about this one?
We'll beat it.
Can you print menu signs and flyers?
Sure can.
How about blueprints?
No problem.
What about red prints?
Not a real thing.
What if they were?
We'd print them. And they'd look amazing.
Now at Staples, print more, save more. Up to $150 off your print purchase. Ends 11-2. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for offer details and staples.com/price match for in-store price match guarantee.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 3-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
Hank FM.
All right, welcome back to Sports Central. Hopefully everybody's enjoying the day today. We talked a little Penn State football, getting a little Justin Fields action right here after the Steelers start out 3-0. And you know, Tom, he's got a tough decision right here between Russell Wilson, Justin Fields. What do you do? Well, if you have that same decision with the cigar company, guess what? There's really only one choice. You know what that is, Corey?
I do know what it is.
What is it?
It's J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars.
100% J.M. Boswell's Pipes and Cigars, the best choice out there. 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturday. Always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell's pipe. Easy choice right there. But Mike Tallman, he doesn't, in my opinion, he doesn't have an easy choice with his quarterback situation.
It is such a good discussion. We'll spend another minute on this, and then Nathan has some other things he wants to get to. I would just say I'm backed into a corner here because I feel like I'm having to defend Justin Fields mm-hmm. when I don't fully believe in Justin Fields.
Yeah.
But the reality is, if you're undefeated, I think you can't turn your back on a guy who is doing everything that you're asking him to do. He's playing your bullcrap game plan to perfection. Mike Tomlin is really not – now, can Justin Fields do a lot more? I don't know. Maybe not. Mike Tomlin's not letting him do a lot. Mike Tomlin is going into every week trying to win a game 13-10. And you know what you need your quarterback to do to win 13-10? Give me some stats that you need for your quarterback to win 13-10.
13-10, you're probably looking at like 17 for 22, maybe 154 yards, maybe a touchdown, but you're probably handing that ball off 22 times between Warren, yourself, and Najee. So,
and that's exactly what Justin's doing.
Yes.
So if you're doing exactly what the coach is asking you to do, and you're not even trying to do a whole lot more, and then you get benched for it, that is a very dangerous thing because you're talking about egos. You're talking about human beings. And could Tomlin do that to Justin Fields? He could if he – because you said you think he believes in Russell Wilson.
I think he just – he respects that Wilson's been around forever.
Yeah.
I think he understands that Wilson is a veteran guy in this league who might be a little bit more polished than Fields is right now. But in the same instance you're saying, it's going to be tough to bench him if he is 4-5-0.
If they become 5-1 or 6-2, obviously we've got
if they
a
drop,
decision.
Like if they drop the next two games, let's say they go to Indianapolis, which is going to be a tough game. They lose that game close. Then you're at home against Dallas, mm-hmm. and maybe you lose by 10 or something like that. Then that decision becomes much easier. You say to Fields, hey, listen, we're going to develop you a little bit more right here. Might see you later in the year. We're going to let Russ control us for now. He's the veteran leader. We'll see what happens there.
And the last point I would make on this is that if the guy has done everything that you – because here's the thing. If they get to that point where they're 6-2 – it's going to be the defense's fault that they lose these games.
Yeah.
It's not going to be that Justin Fields, because Justin Fields hasn't done enough to be 3-0. To be honest, he doesn't have the kind of numbers to be 3-0. But they're 3-0 because of the defense and because of the style Tomlin is playing.
Yeah, and that's what they're trying to do.
If they're 6-2 and Justin Fields is still doing exactly what you want him to do, but you've lost a couple of games, is that going to be the quarterback's fault, or is it going to be the fact that maybe Justin Herbert, the other team's quarterback, doesn't get hurt in that kind of game?
It's probably going to depend on if you make mistakes, if it's a crucial turnover.
Correct, right.
So if you go, like, let's say you're Dallas, it's a 20-17 game, you're trying to drive down the field tied up, and Fields throws a bad ball, Trevon Diggs or Deron Bland or someone picks it off right there, then now you look and say, hey, listen, we can't be having that in this situation.
You're absolutely right. But if they've given up 20 points, the defense lost that game. That's what I keep coming back to.
Yeah, it's
Mike Tomlin is trying to win 13-10. If the defense gives up 20 points, nothing about this team or the offense or Justin Fields or Russell Wilson or even Mike Tomlin is designed to win those kind of games with this game plan. Now, if they want to have a completely different game plan, that's one thing. But if they give up 20 points, the reason they lost is the defense.
I
hate to say that because 20 points, you should be able to win games giving up 20 points.
You should,
points
it's
in
an
the
offensive
NFL,
league.
But not playing the way the Steelers are playing. They are playing the most ultra-conservative style of play right now.
Yeah, 100%.
And so, that's why it'd be hard for me to blame a guy who's doing everything that you're asking him to do.
Yeah. You guys will discuss more on that in about 10 minutes in the Black and Gold breakdown. So we'll transition off that, let you guys hear a little bit more about what people are saying about Fields and what the leash is. But we'll just kind of briefly go over some NFL stuff, some teams that I think are, you know, on the up and rise. First of all, I think the Bills, this was a team I did not believe in coming in the year. Josh Allen has proved me completely wrong. Again, still early. It's really tough not to overreact, but he looks like he's taking care of the ball this year. Still no interceptions on the year. Last night he just dog walked Jacksonville. Is that a, you know, Jacksonville problem? I think Jacksonville has a lot of issues, especially on the defensive side, even with two really good pass rushers in Walker and Hines Allen over there. So, to me, I think the Buffalo Bills, you know, they've turned the page. I get it. You know, you beat the Cardinals, which the Cardinals aren't a bad team. You go to Miami without Tua pretty much for most of the second half, and then you beat a pretty depleted Jags team. So it's not maybe the best transfer schedule so far, but to me the Bills still look very good, and I'm pretty impressed by them.
I don't have the Facebook post up earlier, but so apparently people were saying Josh Allen is like one of the most overrated players ever, and there was some Facebook post earlier today that said he's the first player ever with 300 yards passing, four TDs, no sacks, no interceptions, and leading his team in rushing.
That's crazy.
All in one game. It's crazy. Wild. But here's the moment. This is fascinating. So this woman has a sign. This Bills fan has a sign. Did you catch wind of this, Nathan? She says, Josh, I just got married.
Yep, I saw this. Yep, I know what you're saying.
But I'd leave my husband for you.
He's right beside me.
P.S. He's right here. Now she's getting ripped.
That's hilarious.
Do you have any issue with this?
I do not. Because that's, let's
you
be
think
honest,
her man
joke.
Had
that's
any
a, that's
issue?
A joke. That's a joke.
You think her honest. Man had any issue with that sign?
No,
neither
I don't
do
think
I.
So.
I mean, but
come on.
Because look, one of these days when you get married, and I joked about this a lot. Most married couples, they've got their little joke, their little 5-person list.
Their hall pass.
Yeah, right. And so, hey. If Josh Allen's number one on her list,
yeah, he's a good looking dude.
You know what the husband's probably telling her? Because this is what I tell my wife. I'm like, well, in the divorce, I'm going to get half your money. So, so leave me for the richest person you can.
There you go. Oh my gosh. All right. Other teams. Niners are 1-2 right now. That was an epic collapse against the Rams right there. I wasn't keeping tabs on it because they were crushing them for most of the game, and all of a sudden, Niners go down. Juwan Jennings has himself an excellent game. I think like 150 yards and 3 touchdowns. I'll tell you what, the Niners to me feel like a concerning team. Obviously, they're out without Dre Greenlaw from last year. He tore his Achilles in the Super Bowl running on the field, which is, probably, in my opinion, the worst injury of all time, just with the context of it, just running out on the field in the Super Bowl and you blow your Achilles.
Yep.
I don't think CMC's playing this year. I don't.
Really?
He's in Germany right now seeing a specialist about his Achilles. And you got to think, I mean, by the time he comes back, you're probably looking at like week 8 to 9. If you pop those Achilles then, you're talking at least a year for a running back, and you might not even see the next year. So the Niners to me feel like they're in a lot of trouble. They have a lot of injury issues with Debo, with George Kittle, Ayuk, sort of a slow start since he wasn't at camp. And Purdy, I mean, he's going to have to put this team on his back, and I don't know if he's capable of that. I think he's a good quarterback, but he's still a young quarterback at the end of the day, and I think this Niners team has a little bit of maybe some scare in them.
Yeah, they've been great defensively too, which you didn't mention, but the defense let them down against the Rams.
Yeah.
They're sitting there at 1-2. If McCaffrey doesn't come back, now that puts a lot more pressure on Mr. Irrelevant. You know, it's easier to be a game manager when you've just got immense talent around you.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't have that talent around you or somebody gets hurt, now there's more pressure on you.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. Another team I think is really interesting right now is the Commanders. Obviously, they go out, beat Cincinnati. We could talk probably an entire show on Cincinnati and basically how they no one knows what's going on there. I mean, they got to figure their stuff out. But the Commanders, I think this is a team that's maybe getting a little too much hype right now. I like Jalen Daniels. He's still a little bit of a young quarterback, so we'll have to wait and see. But they did – their defense is giving up a lot of points. They're scoring a lot of points. I mean, their wins are against a 0-3 team and then a New York Giants team, which the Giants did beat the Browns, so I'll give them a little bit of credit there. But the Commanders, I think we got to pump the brakes a little bit on them. People,
but they got a rookie quarterback. He's playing well.
He is playing, but in my opinion, right now, is playing the best out of all the rookie quarterbacks.
He's playing well, and, you know, again – things fell apart for Bryce Young so quickly in Carolina. Things fell apart are already falling apart so quickly for Caleb Williams. We'll see. Things, you know, fans, your organization, they make quick decisions on you. Everybody loves C.J. Stroud. They hate Bryce Young. Flip them. See what would happen.
Yeah.
You know, so to me, any quarterback that can get off to a good start, you're at least keeping the pressure off yourself.
100%. Yeah, he's buying himself a little bit of time.
All right, we're going to step away for a quick break. Wrap things up after this.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast. Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast.
At Shoefly, they think on their feet so you can walk in comfort and style. When you step into Shoefly, you'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable staff who will assist you in finding the perfect shoe for any occasion. Shoefly believes that every foot problem has a fitting solution, and they will work with you to make sure you don't have to sacrifice style for comfort. For more information or to schedule a professional fitting with one of Shoefly's fit specialists, visit their website, ShoeflyStores.com. Shoefly. Your feet will thank you.
Time is of the essence with COVID-19. Prescription oral treatment must be taken within the first 5 days of symptoms. If you have a high risk factor, ask your doctor if treatment is right for you. Learn more at treatcovid19.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Before you buy generic Viagra, try this hack to get 9 tablets for just $7. Prescription and shipping are free. All you need to do is go to FridayPlansRx.com and answer a few medical questions. A doctor reviews your answers and prescribes you online for free, if appropriate, 9 tablets of generic Viagra for just $7. Go to FridayPlansRx.com. Yes, that's right, 9 tablets for $7. FridayPlansRx.com. Restrictions apply. Paid for by FridayPlansRx.com.
Time is of the essence with COVID-19. Prescription oral treatment must be taken within the first 5 days of symptoms. If you have a high risk factor, ask your doctor if treatment is right for you. Learn more at treatcovid19.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
It's a grand slam.
Everyone loves a grand slam, and now you can score one at Kepner's Grandview Meats. Stop in at Kepner's Grandview Meats from now until the end of the curve season and register for the Grandview Grand Slam Contest. If your name is called out during WRTA mornings and a grand slam is hit, you win a $100 gift certificate from Kepner's Grandview Meats, the home of quality meats, hot and cold subs, and more. Stop in and register. No purchase necessary. Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona.
Sports Central here. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the show today. A lot of NFL, NCAA talk. We're in football season, man. We're approaching October. We're about a week out. Really getting to the meat of the football season. I'm excited. Corey, is this just the best time?
These are just awesome discussions. I like having Nathan in here so we can just kind of go back and forth and have some good discussions. I've always said, Nathan, you don't have to agree with everything on sports talk radio. It's nice to have some good banter back and
forth.
Yeah,
you tell you back and forth. Obviously, we disagree with some stuff, but that's what makes Opinionates so awesome. Hopefully, you guys enjoyed the show. Appreciate you listening. As always, Black and Gold Breakdown the other side right here. Make sure you guys tune into that. Take care.
Sports Central is an exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM.